This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's the start of a new week. It's Monday, April 20th. Stay tuned after the news and catch an interview on one of my biggest anxieties lately, how to get groceries safely. And we'll be debuting our newest segment, highlighting healthcare heroes across the country. Telemedicine is becoming more important every day as the alternative to in-person doctor's visits. But how does it even work? How can you best describe your symptoms to a doctor on the other side of a video? With more on how to make the most of your telemedicine calls, Radio MD's Scott Webb.
Telemedicine has become the norm for many doctors and patients during the COVID-19 outbreak for obvious reasons. And though there's no substitute for the gold standard of face-to-face meetings with doctors, telemedicine is working for most, but there are some recommendations that may help. These include trying out your technology beforehand, making a list of symptoms and medicines, and beefing up your bandwidth so that your connection with your doctors is stable. You may still end up meeting with your doctor, but telemedicine might save you a trip. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Alongside COVID-19 is another crisis that is sweeping the nation: mental health. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
Anxiety, depression, substance abuse, loneliness, and excessive violence. These are some of the mental and behavioral disorders researchers say will quietly sweep the nation alongside COVID-19 in a new report in the medical journal JAMA Internal Medicine. Large-scale disasters are almost always accompanied by these types of disorders, the authors write and go on to say, expect an overflow of mental illness that will inevitably emerge from this pandemic. So what can you do? Among other things, experts say maintain social contact via the phone or through online video chat services, create a buddy system to check up on each other, and use teletherapy if you need to talk to a mental health medical professional. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
And sports fans, this next one's for you. Dr. Anthony Fauci recently said sports returning without fans is within the realm of possibility. Fauci was on Snapchat's show Good Luck America, which, yes, is actually a thing, and said there is a way of making sports happen. He says nobody comes to the stadiums, put athletes at big hotels, keep them well surveilled, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their families and just let them play the season out. The chances of it actually happening depend on a league's or organization's ability and a litany of other factors, but we'll take what we can get at this point, right? Go Bills. And if you're someone who misses the sounds of your office, I guess there's others like you, because there is now a customizable website that simulates the sounds of an office at your home. Find that at imisstheoffice.eu and rejoice in the sound of printers humming again. I don't know about you, but getting groceries has become a huge deal in my house. It requires scheduling and strategizing what time is best, gearing up with masks and gloves. For many, this is the one reason to leave the house at this point. I chatted recently with Dr. Lee Vanoker on the safest ways to get groceries. She is a board-certified emergency physician and spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians.
So originally, we are talking about that 6 feet of distancing. And the reason that we were talking about that is because we were saying that it spreads by respiratory droplet. And respiratory droplet is when someone coughs or sneezes, and, you know, there's a little bit of phlegm, it's moisture laden, it's heavy, it falls, you know, it doesn't linger in the air because it's in a moisture droplet, and it falls down. So the 6 feet distance is if somebody does cough and doesn't cover their arm or they're not wearing a mask, by 6 feet, you shouldn't be able to inhale that. But respiratory droplet then adds to the idea of what happens, what's it falling on. If you're in a grocery store and somebody's coughing over the produce, it's falling and you're 6 feet away, it's falling on the food or the product. So then it gets into the next idea, what you should be doing. And I have to say, I think certainly for respiratory droplet, the key to being safe and taking precautions is, number one, hand washing and not touching your face at all. So the whole time you're in the grocery store, you should not be touching your face. It's the same reason that the carts should be sanitized, which a lot of the, I'm happy to see groceries, and I don't know if this is all over, but I'm seeing it where I am, and I'm hearing about it in other states from colleagues. They're not letting a ton of people into the store. They have X marks on the sidewalk for 6 feet apart where you have to wait. They're creating an area that's X marks along the outside of the groceries. So there's 6 feet marks where you're waiting to pay for your groceries. There's one person standing there and he's telling you which cashier to go to. They put up the shield so you're not waiting in the line close to somebody. But, you know, you need to wipe down the carts and they're wiping down the carts outside. They also tell you there's hand sanitizer and wipes right when you get in. I recommend wiping again. I do recommend using gloves, but using gloves isn't, you know, you can't use your gloves and touch your face. You can't be touching everything. There are some interesting videos online. There was a great nurse who put paint on her gloves to show if this was bacteria. There's a way to remove your gloves. You know, you pull them from the inside out to get one off and you hold that glove in your wrist and then you stick a finger under the other one and pull it inside out. That's how doctors remove gloves all the time in the hospital, and you should think about doing that. And then when you get home, a couple things. Not all of us have garages or front porches, but if you do, you can consider the non-perishables, either wiping them down and letting them sit there for a couple days, because by then, if you have a porch in the sun, we know that UV light can kill some viruses, so you can do that. If you really need to leave them a place in your house, maybe in the laundry room or on top of a washer or dryer, if you have an apartment that has that. But it's difficult for some people that live in crowded areas. But consider wiping everything down that has a container and letting it sit out, and maybe not using that can of soup for a couple of days if you don't need to. And then, you know, carefully wiping down with Clorox or Lysol, whatever kind of wipes you have. What's interesting is for food, right? For perishables like fruits and vegetables. I mean, people are talking about certain fruits and vegetables like cucumbers, potatoes, apples, oranges. Those you could use some soapy water, wash it for 2 minutes, and then same way you wash your hands for 2 minutes, happy birthday, and then really rinsing it with water to get off any soap residue. For certain things that you can peel, you know, I know we talk about healthy things, you know, in the skins of apples and things, but, you know, maybe you peel apples for a while now, peel your potatoes, peel your cucumbers when you eat them. Certainly things like berries and lettuce are a little harder to deal with. There are vegetable washes that you can do if you get some berries or fruits that aren't completely ripened, allowing them to ripen on a windowsill open with the sun coming in might do it. Any vegetable, meat, thing like that, if you wipe down the container or the packaging and then let it sit a while, and then by the time you use it, if you're cooking it, that certainly is going to kill bacteria and virus. So, you know, boiling your green beans and stuff, or your broccoli, or those kind of things, you know. It's hard with salads because we like to eat a lot of salads and carrots, but, you know, peeling the carrots before you put them in your salad, you know, really washing the mushrooms, cooking mushrooms if you like cooking. So cooking whatever you can cook nowadays is going to help kill the bacteria.
And what about wearing masks into stores? Many cities and some stores themselves are telling people to wear non-medical cloth masks when going outside.
Originally, we talked about respiratory droplets. We're now finding perhaps there can be aerosolization. So aerosolized particles are tinier particles in smaller amounts that spray into the air and can travel by currents. Respiratory droplets can't from a cough. But now there's some research out there. Is it potentially that we are seeing aerosolized particles from talking and exhaling? And I think that's the big flip-flop of the mask by a lot of our, you know, agencies like the Center for Disease Control. And even myself as a doctor, I kind of, as I started to hear about aerosolization potential with this, I too believe in a mask. So I do recommend that people wear masks when they go out. I think certainly for grocery stores, which are closed areas, especially. I think the employees should be wearing masks, which I don't see them do. It's hard to wear a mask all day. But certainly to protect the employees, and if they keep 6 feet apart, they should make everybody coming into the grocery store wear a mask. I certainly believe in that, because as we learn more about aerosolization that can be carried by air currents, certainly in a closed space, you're more at risk. So I do believe in masks.
In an effort to bring some light into our daily show, we're starting a new segment highlighting healthcare heroes across the country. From our doctors and nurses going above and beyond, to community members and volunteers lending a helping hand during this difficult time. Our first story comes from Chicago, Riverside Health to be exact. Lauren Short is the director of volunteer services here and told us a bit about all the donations community members are sending their way during this unprecedented time. So tell us about what you've seen in the last couple of weeks as you've seen your role kind of change. What are the kinds of donations that are coming into the hospital?
It's been really heartwarming to see the community help our staff feel like the heroes they are. And as a community hospital, that support is really core to our culture. There's sort of three big categories of support that we've received. One is in the realm of PPE donations that we all hear so much about. And we're receiving both manufactured donations where people have N95 masks on hand because of the industry they work in, or maybe because of a paint project at home. And then there's also the homemade masks. We have actually had over 1,000 homemade masks made by our community volunteers.
Wow.
And those are all sorts of different people. One of the special stories is that one of our own housekeeping employees, who's working very hard in her day job right now, spent her own personal time making 100 masks for our staff in the evenings.
Oh my gosh.
And to make it fun, she chose Chicago sports teams. So that, you know, everyone can sport their team. So that's been one really awesome example of the way that people have stepped up. We've also received food donations. You know, it's the practical thing of our staff doesn't even have time right now, or maybe the energy at the end of a shift to worry about what they're packing for lunch or dinner. And so our community has provided almost 2,000 meals and snacks to our staff, which has been really, really just above and beyond. But probably the most fun thing to talk about is our community has gotten really creative in some service donations. So a few examples of that. For our senior life community, we actually had a local mother-daughter singing duo who hosted a courtyard concert. So in the middle of the senior life community, they stood outside and sang. Everyone could watch them through their windows. And then they aired on Facebook Live, too, so that families could participate.
That is so cool. That is, it's really incredible to see how people are, like you said, getting so creative about, you know, doing pickups and deliveries and concerts and all kinds of things with technology. And it's really incredible to see the adaptation all over.
Yeah, I think everybody is looking for what is their specialty and how can they use that to benefit healthcare. And so we've also had a local dealership, Taylor Chrysler Dodge, did free on-site oil changes for our employees. So they set up in one of our parking garages and offered several days of that. And we had a local florist who donated bouquets for our staff and some residents who, you know, are in isolation and just need a bright spot. We even had a local Chicago women's hockey team who has a 3D printer, and they 3D printed us 50 face shields that are being used by our ICU and COVID unit staff.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. A couple of really neat stories.
So if I'm listening and not necessarily in the Chicago area, I mean, what do you think would be the best thing for people to do that feel like they want to help, probably? Like, you know, if I'm not someone who has access to maybe a 3D printer, but I'm just sitting at home and I'm like, what can I do for my local healthcare heroes?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the biggest things right now is morale. Mm. We all have talked about how we even get kind of disheartened if you listen to too much news or just feel stuck in your house for too many days. Well, likewise, our team who is serving, it can be wearing on you. And this has gone on for weeks and probably some weeks to come. And so I think one of the best things that you can do is just think of those morale boosters. You know, we've had people that haven't had to spend a penny, but they've gotten their kids together and made homemade cards that they sent to patients. We've had people that took time to make homemade yard signs and put them outside our buildings, just applauding our healthcare heroes. And I think all of those things are great reminders that we're not alone in this and that we'll get through it together.
And if people are in Chicago, how can they reach out to Riverside to help?
Yeah, great question. If they go to Riverside's website, it's riversidehealthcare.org. And we actually have, like everyone else, a COVID page that summarizes some of those ways that you can donate and get involved. Really practically, one of the fun things we're doing is that we've lit our hospital in blue for this month in a show of support for all our essential workers and kind of to shine a light despite our circumstance. And so we're inviting the community to cut out and write personalized blue hearts in their windows. We see, you know, all across the nation, everyone's doing the hearts and windows campaign. And so we have blue hearts for Riverside where you can fill in the name of someone who you want to show support to individually. We're calling it Hearts for Healthcare. And that's on Riverside's Facebook page that you can actually print out the design and put one up in your own window. This week is actually National Volunteer Week, and so we're definitely taking time to appreciate our legacy volunteers, even though many of them aren't here in our hallways anymore. But at the same time, it just gives us a good chance to look at the community that's become an extension of our volunteer team and say thank you. So I think this is a really fitting time to shine the light on some of them.
This has been another episode of Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you have questions or want us to highlight a healthcare hero in your neck of the woods, email us at COVID19daily@radio.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. We hope you had a good start to your week today, and we'll check in with you Tuesday afternoon. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.